Well, go ahead and grab your Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible, you can follow along. The verses that we're going to share this morning, that I'm going to share this morning, are found on the Bible app. And if you open up the YouVersion app, click in the bottom right-hand corner where it says More, and then go to Events. You can find Restoration Church and then all of the verses there. At this time, I'm going to invite Joel to come up. He did not know this. It's the joy of being a leader on a team, Joel. Got to always be prepared. But I wanted Joel just to share who these people are with us this morning and what Joel and Kate are going to be doing this summer. The newly married Joel and Kate Van Zanten. Now, you've been married for 2 weeks. Do you have any wise words about marriage? Like any, you know, super big advice that you want to give us? There you go.
But let me give you a little bit of context to why the average age in this room just dropped significantly. But that is because you probably know this and may remember it from last summer. This summer is once again just with Kate as my wife this time, and not separate, praise God. We are going to be leading teams out on the summer tours with Every Heart Movement again this summer. And so we have a team of 18 of us. We're all going to be spending 8 weeks on the road to the West Coast. And so this right now, we're based in Grand Rapids. We're spending some time further this week doing some training, preparing just to minister all summer long through evangelism, worship, and just coming around and supporting the local body of Christ.
And so that's kind of what we're here for. And so we're here this morning just because, we're getting some training in Grand Rapids, but also we so love and so desire to be a part of the local church, in every single city that we're a part of. And we're so thankful for just the ways that, Restoration has supported this mission, and just encouraged and championed the young adults, and youth movement coming out of Grand Rapids right now. And so we're here. We'll be on the road we're here until Friday. That Jesus rally, that we talked about will be kind of a send-off gathering, but it'll also be a moment to gather, West Michigan to share the gospel in a public outdoor space, to worship and lift the name of Jesus high. But then commission the church to go be the hands and feet of Jesus while we're on the road and inviting the rest of the nation into that essentially. And so.
So you said you're going out west. What cities are you going to? Can you share?
Yeah. So our first 2 weeks will be in Colorado in both Fort Collins and Colorado Springs. We'll be headed to Salt Lake City after that, and then we'll have 4 weeks in California. We'll be hitting San Diego, L.A., Fresno, California, and San Francisco, and then we're going to be ending our tour in Boise, Idaho.
Sweet. And you've gone to some of these cities before, so
yes.
You've seen the work that God is doing. This just came to me. Can you share like a little bit of what you've seen over the number of years?
Yeah.
What God is doing in those cities.
Yeah, totally. There's a couple of cities specifically that we're going to this summer that I've been to for a while now. I think back to the summer of 2021. That was the first tour that I ever went on. Had no idea what I was doing, but for the first time in the history of the Every Heart Movement, we went to Salt Lake City, Utah. And, this is, if you don't know it, it is Salt Lake City is the Mormon capital of the world. It's where the Mormon church itself is headquartered. It's where all of the leadership, of the Mormon church resides. So there's this very, very strong culture, of Mormonism within the LDS church centered there. And what I've seen over the past 4 years is I've seen people in this place that have begun to reject this false gospel of faith plus works, but a faith that is received by grace alone. I've seen hearts begin to soften for the real gospel, for the love of Jesus to affect their lives deeply, and just a testimony even from last summer is we saw 35 people last summer in Salt Lake City give their lives to Jesus fully. And many of these people, were people that had been a part of the Mormon church, had left the Mormon church, because they'd seen so many of the, just the lies and the hurt that it had caused, the pain of not ever being able to be good enough to be accepted by Christ. But then actually after having left, receiving, the true gospel. And so last summer we saw 35 people saved, in Salt Lake City alone. But as a testimony of that, I didn't talk to a single Mormon the entire time I was there. People are leaving the LDS church in droves, and receiving Jesus, in crazy measures. I've seen this in a lot of other places as well. I see it in San Diego right now happening where people who have been so obsessed with the chill surf culture, are beginning to kind of like reject just like the worldly comforts and actually begin to hunger for Jesus, and make that the priority, of their lives. And so it's really special to see what God is doing around America right now.
So in about 20 or so minutes, we're going to pray over you. But how can we follow your team specifically throughout the summer? Is there a way, like online, that we can do that, just your team, or is it all of them?
Yeah, so I think one of the best ways that you can follow all of our teams is to, on social media, you can follow the Every Heart Movement or Every Heart Tours. Those are some of the best ways that you can be following along with what we're doing. But chances are, if you're following my social media, you'll be seeing some updates, or Kate's social media most likely will have more updates. She's better at that than I am. But those will be some personal updates that you'll be seeing along the way from our team specifically.
And then as I see them, I'll share them here. Cool. We'll be praying for you in just a couple minutes. Thanks for sharing, Joel. You know, one of the things that I love, and I share this, is in Psalm 100, it says, God is faithful from generation to generation. And I love this picture that, you know, generations here that are represented, have run the race well and are still running the race well. But I've heard this before, and it says, one generation's ceiling is the next generation's floor. And just continue to build and build and build from one generation to the next. And I love seeing a younger generation, just saying, yep, we're all in on Jesus. And we're going to run this race and run it well. And it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And there's highs and lows in a marathon. And want to pray that you continue to run the race, that all of us would run the race with endurance, with our eyes focused, clearly focused on Jesus every single day. You know, the thing that I love about Every Heart in this tour and just in sharing space here today is the joy of partnerships, of kingdom partnerships. And all throughout Restoration's history over the last number of years, there's been a number of partnerships that the Lord has had us step into. And I think of at the very beginning, there was something called Worship in the Woods, where in the midst of COVID, there was just a group of teenagers that were getting together in the woods, wherever they could find them, and just worshiping the Lord. We've had a great partnership with Overland, where young people have been raised up and sent to the nations, young and old, where many of us have gone on a trip to the nations to share the gospel, to share the love of Jesus with people. And then Every Heart and others in Bethel, the space that we're in. You know, I just love the joy of partnership. I think of the mission, and I think of different places that we have walked alongside. And when I think about the thing that I want us all to take away from this morning is simply this, the joy of walking with the Lord and how He leads us specifically to partner with people, or in a very specific way will show us people that He wants us to pray for. Like this life of following Jesus, I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, I put too much pressure on myself to manufacture, to make something happen. And I have just learned over the recent course of my life is just the joy of walking with the Lord. That you don't have to manufacture something. You just have to walk in the beautiful relationship with the Lord. And I love that Dan shared that testimony that happened this week, and him and I hadn't talked, and I just love that. Because here, all of a sudden, the Lord just gave a picture. And it wasn't like, okay, I got to go find this person. I got to make this happen. No, the Lord brought the person to him. And I love that picture. And it reminds me of a story that I was actually going to share today. Years ago, when I experienced this with middle school boys. Now, this is crazy. Like, we were on a Wednesday night. we're coming together and we're like, all right, we're going to go on a prayer walk. We're going to go out into the community and we're going to pray for people. And I took these middle school boys, and I believe Mike Horn was with me as well. And we sat down with the middle school boys and I said, all right, I want you to sit quietly for 2 minutes. And I want you just to listen and see if the Lord would give you any pictures, like any visions, anything, you know, a picture of a person that the Lord would want us to pray for. And so they sat there for 2 minutes quietly, which was a miracle, which was like an absolute miracle. And then all of a sudden I said, okay, was there anything that you saw? Did you get a picture of anybody? Did you get a sense? And one person, one young man said, I saw a picture of like retro Air Jordan tennis shoes. I'm like, okay. And then another one's like, I saw a picture of a Detroit Tigers hat. And then another one's like, yeah, I saw a person walking a dog. And then another person was like, yeah, the dog is a Chihuahua. And I'm like, okay, now they've taken this too far. They've gone, like, we'll see what happens. And so I said, all right, I wrote them down on a piece of paper, and we went out and looked for a person and just started praying with people. Came across this person that was just across the street from the church, and we said, hey, can we pray for you? And this person that was there sitting by themselves looked at us and said, no, you can't pray for us. And I was like, ooh, that's scary. And so we like, all right, we continued on our way. And we were still looking for this person. And all of a sudden, I saw this lady walking towards us. And these middle school boys saw this lady walking. And sure enough, she had a Detroit Tigers hat on. She had retro Jordan sneakers on. And she was walking her dog. And I walked up to her and I said, hey, you know, you might think this is crazy, but we just were praying in the church and we just had this list and here's what was on it. And by the way, can you tell me what kind of dog you have? And she's like, oh, this is my Chihuahua. And we showed her the list and she's like, that's me. And I said, yeah, the Lord had you in mind. How can we pray for you? And she said, well, I have a job interview tomorrow and I would love prayer because I feel a little stressed about it. And I'm like, that's absolutely amazing. And we prayed for her, and she felt really blessed and really cared for by the Lord. But the cool thing also that happened was I heard stories from these middle school boys' parents the next day. They're like, what happened? Our son came home from youth group and was saying, like, this is what happened. Did it actually happen? And I'm like, yeah, it absolutely did. Like, it made a huge impact on their heart and in their lives. And I just think, like, life doesn't have to be that complicated. I think we in the church, and we, like, I all take the blame too, like, we like to complicate things and think, like, it has to be, we have to figure something out and manufacture something. And it simply can be walking in the joy of the Lord and walking in partnership with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord. And this is all made possible because of what Jesus has done. And I want to look at a couple passages and work our way through a couple things and just highlight what we know to be true based on what we see in the Word. Isaiah 11 said something very, very powerful. It's up on the screen. Isaiah 11, and prophesying and talking about the Lord, the Jesus who is coming, the Messiah, says this in Isaiah 11, if I can find it. Says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And I love that in verse 2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And up until that point, all the way throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was very active. Holy Spirit was active all the way back in the beginning, all the way back in creation. But all throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and fill a person for a very specific purpose and would carry out that purpose, and then the Holy Spirit would leave this person. All the way throughout the Old Testament, you'd see the Holy Spirit fall and then leave. Fall on a person and then leave. And then it says in Isaiah, the prophet is saying, when the Messiah comes, the Holy Spirit would fall and remain on him. And that's why I love in John 1, if you flip over to John 1, John the Baptist is sharing about baptizing Jesus. And is talking about what he experienced and giving eyewitness to this. And in John 1, verse 32, it says this, John bore witness, and this is what he saw. He said this, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. And I've always loved that verse because in what John is articulating there, he's like, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove. And it remained on Jesus, fulfilling the prophecy that we see in Isaiah 11. And so all of a sudden you see like something new, something significant is happening. The Holy Spirit fell and remained on Jesus, stayed on Jesus. But also says, here he goes, he said, this is the one whom the Spirit remains on, will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Will completely immerse people, that's what baptism means, can be completely immersed in the power and the presence of the Lord, in the Holy Spirit. And so if you fast forward then to the end of Jesus' life here on earth as he's spending time with his disciples, telling them what to do, telling them what is going to happen. As he's spending time with them, look at chapter 20 of John. John 20. Because John says this is the one who's going to baptize in the Holy Spirit. And you get to the end of John's gospel. And it says this in verse 21. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's meeting with his disciples who are freaked out. And he said this, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. I love that the picture of the character of God, that he's ascending God. Just as God has sent Jesus, Jesus now, I'm sending you out. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. For if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now, this picture there, and there's phrases in Scripture that if you just read them, it's like, okay, that's a little weird. Like it says that Jesus breathed on them. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't like it when like people are close to me and breathing on me. Like, I like my little personal space. And here it says that Jesus breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And I believe that something very significant is happening here. That is, he's breathing on them and saying, receive the Holy Spirit. This is a picture of new creation. You go back to the beginning, if you go back to Genesis 2, where God formed Adam, formed him from the mud, and said that he breathed his life into him and he became a living being. Here, Jesus is breathing on them and saying, receive the Holy Spirit. You are a new creation. You're filled with the very power and the presence of the Lord. Receive the Holy Spirit. But then what did we receive? Like, receive the very presence of the Lord. What did we receive? Let's flip over to Luke chapter 24. And I want to look at these end sayings of Jesus. This final interaction that he had with his disciples, because I believe it just is significant. His final words needs to be our first priority. And in verse 48 of Luke 24, he again is saying, you're going to be my witnesses, Luke 24, verse 48. You're going to be my witnesses of these things, of miracles and the gospel. And he says this, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. He says, here's what I want you to do. You're going to be my witness. But behold, like, don't leave. Don't leave Jerusalem until you are clothed with power on high. And here's the crazy thing. The resurrected Jesus, who could have said, like, I have all power, here we go. Instead, like, he says, no, I'm going to use my power to empower you. Empower you to carry on the work that I have called you to do. And what happened? 100 scared, terrified followers of Jesus in the upper room turned into millions and billions. Why? Because of the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Because they were clothed with power on high. And this is actually seen in the final interaction that Jesus had with his disciples. If you flip over to Acts chapter 1, Luke wrote the book of Acts. And before Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples were asking him a question. And they wanted to know when the end times were going to happen. When are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus says, no, it's not for you to know the time or the hour. But he says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Here's what I love about these passages. We're going to look at one more in Matthew 28. But here we are given a mission. Jesus says, go be my witnesses. Go share the gospel. I want to use you in this world. I want to see my kingdom come. We've been given this mission, and if it was up to us, it would be impossible. There's no way we could accomplish it. But the thing that I love is the mission of God comes with the power of God to accomplish it. Like, we have been given the very power of God. That's why I led the last couple of weeks just going through the Old Testament, going through the life of Jesus. You see the Holy Spirit at work at the very beginning, creating the entire world. You see the Holy Spirit empowering people like Samson and David and Moses to lead. And then you see Jesus empowered by the Holy Spirit, being led into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit and coming back in the power of the Spirit. And you see amazing things happen. And Jesus says, when I'm gone, even greater things are going to happen. Why? Not because we're great, because He's great. And He has put His power in us. And so we have been given this mission. And the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in us. And I just wonder this morning, and I think you would agree with this, is like, do we believe it? Do we believe that that is true? But it not only comes with the power of God, this is so comforting out of Matthew 28. It comes with the very presence of God. Look at Matthew 28. And again, these are familiar words. This is before Jesus goes up into heaven. He says this. He came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he gives this very specific command. I want you to make disciples. I want you to baptize them. I want you to lead them into this moment where their identity is transformed and changed. And I want you to teach them everything that I have taught you. But here's the absolutely amazing thing. Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. The mission of God comes with the very presence of God. This whole passage, this whole section is just dripped with presence. That God is with us. That Jesus is with us. And he says, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. It's not just saying like, I'm with you when you're doing things right, or I'm with you when you got it going on. I'm with you when you like know what you're doing. No, I am with you always. There's nothing in all creation that can separate me from you. This promise is all the way throughout Scripture. The Lord just says, I'm with you. I think of Joshua freaked out after Moses had led Israel for so many years. They're about to enter the promised land. God appears to Joshua and says, you know what? I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. I'm with you. And I think that's a word for us today. Be strong and courageous because the Lord is with you. Like, we don't have to fear anything because the Lord is with us. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with us. The presence of the Lord is with us. And so we get the joy of just walking with Him. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about how do we experience and know the presence of the Lord. I mean, one way is the Holy Spirit. We're going to dive into who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit is a person. He is the Holy Spirit, someone who can be grieved, someone who can be interacted with. But I look at the history of the church. And what happened? How did this group of people who were freaked out, how did they transform the world? It wasn't all of a sudden because they became great. It was because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was leading and guiding them, transforming those who had denied Jesus into powerful proclaimers of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit, I've learned, isn't just an assistant to the mission, like there when we need Him. No, He's the very engine to the mission. So we're going to talk more about the Holy Spirit, but we're also going to talk about the church and the people of God. How do we experience the presence of God? It's through the people of God. After all, we're the body of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, you are the body of Christ. You are His body. And He's given people to the church to equip us and grow us. Different personalities, different types. In a couple weeks, we're going to talk about all of those different types of personalities and maybe even invite you to take a test to see where you fit in the body of Christ. But here's the thing. We're a diverse body, but we need one another. You absolutely need one another. I think about the team that's going out. You're going out west. Right now, you're like, this is amazing. We're going to go out west. It's going to be awesome. Kumbaya. This is going to be amazing. But you're going to spend 20 plus hours, you know, just going to Fort Collins or whatever it is in a 15-passenger van. And you're going to rub shoulders. And you're going to like be like, no, this person's annoying. This person's bugging me. And you're going to have to work through things. But you know what? God has placed those people in your life because you need those people in your life. You need to grow with one another. And here's the thing that I love about the church is, yeah, there's some times when we can frustrate one another, but I have learned so much through the people that God has brought into my life. He's grown me and stretched me through people that have been in the church. And one of the things that I worry about every summer is Michigan summers, people just kind of disconnect. And the thing that I have seen, we know this to be true, is that the enemy, the devil, doesn't take time off in the summer. We get beat up in the summer. We go through hard times in the summer. There's temptations in the summer. We need to continue to meet together to encourage one another and build one another up. And so all of this to simply say, when it comes to the Christian life, I don't think it's super complicated. I think it simply comes down to this. What is the normal Christian life? It's a community of people walking together in the power and the presence of the Lord. Being obedient when He says to go. Being obedient when He says, don't go over there. Walking in the joy and the comfort of the Holy Spirit and walking in step with Him. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to pray over this team that is headed out west. And how I envision this to happen this morning is we got a group of us from Restoration Church and a group of you guys that are going out west. And I would love in the next couple moments, usually we have you guys all in the middle, but I didn't think that was going to be possible today. We could do that, but I would love for us to kind of move around and have some from Restoration partner up with some from Every Heart and just pray over them. But take a couple minutes and pray over them and also listen and see if the Lord would give you anything for them. Just kind of like the Lord gave Dan a picture of a hat and a beard and all that stuff. To see if the Lord would give you anything for them. And so if you're going out west, I would love you to stand up right now. There you go. And I would love, there's others that aren't going out west, I would love you guys, and Restoration Church, you need to be welcoming in this. I would love you guys to spread out around this room and get by some of the people that are here from Restoration. Go ahead and spread out right now. Go sit by a person that is from Restoration. And Restoration, as a person from Every Heart comes towards you, I want you to pray over them and just listen. And Restoration, feel free to look at them and say, hey, come over here. Why don't you go over here, Zoe? Spend a couple minutes praying over them. Go for it. Listen to the Lord on their behalf. And just pray what you hear. Get to know them a little bit and then pray over them and then we'll wrap up with